Well, good morning, Southern Seminary and Boyce College community. I am honored to be able to preach the word of God to you this morning and praying the Lord will use it to convict your hearts and to bring you encouragement or perhaps rebuke, comfort, as his spirit sees fit. In our current format, this chapel message will be relatively brief, but my prayer is that it will live long in your heart and that God will move mightily in you through his word. Let us turn our attention to the word of God. I'm going to be reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 16. We read, "They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, 'Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.' And then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And on the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily.' So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, 'At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?' And Moses said, 'When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord.' Then Moses said to Aaron, 'Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.' And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, 'I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall all be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God.' And in the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. And when the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. And this is what the Lord has commanded: gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. And you shall each take an omer according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent.' And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, 'Let no one leave any of it over until the morning.' But they did not listen to Moses. And some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms, and it stank. And Moses was angry with them. And morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. And on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, 'This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept until the morning.' So they lay it aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. And Moses said, 'Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none. And on the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. Take a moment and listen. Listen to the conversations that you hear around you. In the cacophony of social media, in the midst of social upheaval and unrest in our society, listen. In the overcrowded and understocked grocery store in a COVID-19 world, listen. In the lobbies and sanctuaries of your local church, listen. In the confines of your own family living room, listen. And in the solitude of your own heart, as you speak within the silence of your own mind to an imaginary audience, listen. And as you listen, I feel sure that you will hear, much like I hear when I listen, a great deal of grumbling and complaining. We've all done it. And maybe we would even say that since March of 2020, we've done it a lot more frequently than before. You know, grumbling is one of those sins that fits into the category of what Jerry Bridges has called a respectable sin. It's right there along with sins like worry or impatience. They're sins that seem to be so universal, even among the people of God, that we seldom feel the urgency to devote our time and our energy and the resources of our hearts and our minds to addressing this sin, to bringing the full weight of the resources of the gospel of Christ so that we would search out the root of this sin in our hearts, that we would confess it to the Lord and relish the full forgiveness that comes to us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It seems as though we have far more urgent concerns to deal with. But if we're sober-minded, we know there's no such thing as a respectable sin, not when measured against the holiness of God as the perfect standard of what is truly good and right. In fact, listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. In Philippians 2, 14 through 16, what he says about grumbling. He says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain." Resisting the sin of grumbling is doing some pretty heavy lifting in that text. I mean, think about what Paul says. He says that by not grumbling, we are presenting ourselves to a sinful world as blameless and innocent. By not grumbling, we're shining like lights in the world. By not grumbling, we're doing the opposite of grumbling. That is, we're holding fast to the word of Christ. And for Paul, the lack of grumbling among Philippian Christians would be the evidence to him that their conversion was genuine, that indeed they're born again, that they have the Spirit of God, so that on the last day, the day of judgment, he would not be found to have labored in vain among them. In our text that we started out with this morning, Exodus 16, the word grumbling or some form of it is mentioned 8 times. This means it's a very fitting place for us to examine grumbling. And as we examine the grumbling of the people of Israel, we're going to see that grumbling lips are fruit of the rotten root of the heart. And we're going to try and examine those rotten roots that give forth the fruit of grumbling lips. And I'm just going to make 3 observations from this text about the rotten roots of grumbling lips in the hope that we will address these rotten roots and that we will be able to do as Paul says, do all things without grumbling or complaining. The first observation from Exodus 16 I want you to consider with me is this: that grumbling is a failure to remember the deliverance of God in the past. Grumbling is a failure to remember the deliverance of God in the past. We tend to remember our past as inherently better than our present, and this gives us a false and deluded sense of entitlement in the present moment as though things ought to be better. And we see this in the text in Exodus 16. I want to just draw your attention again to verse 3, where we read, "The people of Israel said, 'Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and we ate bread to the full. You've brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger.'" The people of Israel say, "Man, this wilderness journey really stinks. We're hungry." And then they look at each other and they say, "Man, you guys remember Egypt? What a great place. Meat pots and bread." You know, it makes Israel's time in the land of Egypt sound like a relaxing evening at the local fondue restaurant. But you notice how selective this memory is? They're choosing to remember the fact that they had food in Egypt, and of course they did, because the slaves had to be well fed for economic reasons by their oppressive and tyrannical masters. And they're selectively remembering that they didn't lack food in Egypt, but they're also forgetting the single most important reality about their time in Egypt. Scripture tells us that when they were in Egypt, they were under tyrannical, oppressive slave drivers. They were being brutally driven to rigorous work without proper compensation. They were being murdered and abused. They've forgotten the truth about Egypt, but not only that. When we're grumbling, we tend to forget entirely the truth that shatters any justification of our grumbling. We remember the things that justify our grumbling, and we forget the things that shatter that justification. Not only is Israel forgetting the oppression of their slavery by making Egypt sound better than it was, what else are they forgetting? They're forgetting the mighty hand and the outstretched arm of the Lord who delivered them from the land of Egypt in answer to their prayers and their cries in the middle of their oppression. And look, we just go back one chapter to Exodus 15. And at the beginning of Exodus 15, we find ourselves in the Song of Moses, as a psalm is being written of praise to God. Why? Because he just led them through the waters of the Red Sea with a wall on the right hand and a wall on the left as their enemies pursued them. They watched as their enemies were drowned in the sea and the Lord accomplished this mighty deliverance. That's one chapter ago. And already they're looking back at Egypt and they're forgetting the deliverance of God and they're forgetting their slavery and they're saying, "Oh man, wasn't Egypt wonderful?" They've forgotten the deliverance of God in the past. You know, the great importance of remembrance is engraved in the very law of the Lord. In the law of Moses, the Lord tells the children of Israel that every year they're to celebrate the Passover meal as a celebratory feast. And there's a reason why they needed this meal, because this meal was going to be an act of faithful remembrance of God's deliverance of them from the land of Egypt. There's a reason they ate bitter herbs that reminded them of the bitterness and oppression of their time in Egypt. There's a reason they ate unleavened bread, because they didn't have time to let the leaven spread through the whole lump and let that dough rise. They had to get out of there quickly, because Pharaoh and all of his rage was going to be coming after them. The Passover meal was a solemn act of faithful and true remembrance. And this fact that God ordained it shows us the importance and the value of regular remembrance. This is probably a good moment for us to be reminded that the entire Exodus event recorded for us in the opening chapters of the Bible is a pattern-setting event. It sets a typological pattern such that the historical deliverance of the people of Israel from the land of Egypt finds its greater fulfillment in the work of Christ, who delivers us from the oppression and slavery of sin, death, and the devil, and ultimately who delivers us from the wrath and judgment of God himself. The Exodus is a pattern through which we can see gospel fulfillment. And so, saints, I would ask you, when you find yourself prone to grumble, "Lord, I feel it," you find these grumbling, murmuring words on your lips, are you not in that moment forgetting the great deliverance of God? Are you not forgetting your redemption from sins that Christ has accomplished for you, and that even in this moment that you would dare utter words of grumbling and murmuring because of your temporary circumstances, that you are one who is redeemed by the Lord? We have the Lord's Supper as a memorial meal for us, reminding us that remembrance is every bit as important today as it was for Israel then. Grumbling is a failure to remember God's deliverance in the past. But secondly, grumbling is a failure to trust God in the present. It's a failure to trust God in the present. You know, God is so gracious to Israel in this passage. They grumble and they complain, irrationally so. They forget his mighty deeds that he's just accomplished for them. And yet his response to them is to rain down bread from heaven called manna and to give them meat on special occasions through the quail that he provides. And he tells them that the manna from heaven in particular is going to be a daily regular provision for them, that they're to go out every day, 6 days of the week, and they're to gather one day's worth. But on the seventh day, it won't be given. So on the sixth day, they're to gather twice as much. And the Lord tells them, look, don't keep any of it on the normal six-day pattern. Don't keep any of it until the morning. But what did the Israelites do? You can look at verses 19 through 21 and be reminded that the Israelites, some of them, went out, and no doubt they thought to themselves, this stuff's great and it's going to feed us, but what if it doesn't come tomorrow? It's here today. We see it with our eyes. We can touch it with our hands. So let's gather enough to last as long as possible, because what if it doesn't come tomorrow? And so some of them gathered more than enough, and they kept it until morning, the text tells us. And what happened? It bred worms and it stank. But what are they doing? They're failing to trust God in the present moment. He gave them this bread and he said, I'm going to keep giving it to you. And they simply don't believe him. And not only that, not only do they fail to trust that he said he would give it daily, but then they fail to trust that he would protect the sufficiency of what he's given. Because he said, now look, on the sixth day, you're to get twice as much and keep it till morning. But you see, they have anecdotal evidence to suggest they shouldn't do that. Well, there were some people who tried to keep it till morning and it bred worms. Even though in this case, the word of the Lord told them to keep it till morning, they're saying, no, we better not. That seems like a bad idea. And so they didn't gather twice as much, and they went out on the Sabbath day to collect manna. And of course, there was no manna. They're grumbling and complaining. They're failing to trust God in the present, failing to believe what he says. You know, whenever we find ourselves grumbling and complaining, I would suggest to you that we are explicitly failing to trust God. It's as if we're saying with our grumbling lips that things ought to be different than they are, and if they were different, they would be better. And that's saying that what God has ordained for us is not best. Ironically, it's the same argument an atheist might make when looking at what seem to be terrible things in the world. If God's so good, then why do things look so bad? And the whole argument is built on the presupposition that I know better than God. Israel failed to trust God in the present, and often we do the same. And then the third and final observation is this. Grumbling is a failure to hope in the promise of God for the future. You know, when God delivered his people from the land of Egypt, where did he tell them he was going to take them? To a desert wilderness? To leave them there? No. He said he was going to take them to a good land, a land flowing with milk and honey. But you see, their failure to remember the past and their failure to trust God in the present made them blind to the hope of God's promise for the future. And the hardships of the wilderness and the inconveniences of daily manna gathering and the sore feet by day and the hard beds by night, all of these difficulties along the way should have been seen as mere temporary inconveniences on a pathway to immeasurable joy. But instead of counting it all joy, in the midst of their trials, they grumbled. And saints of God, I would ask you, what has God promised us? Where is God leading us? He's leading us to a new creation. He's leading us to a place where his unmediated presence will fill all of creation and be in us and with us, a pain-free, tear-free, grief-free, death-free reality. And if you believe those promises, then rather than grumbling on your lips, I would encourage you to say with Paul, the sufferings of this present age are not worth comparing to the glory that's going to be revealed to us, or that this light momentary affliction is producing in us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Saints, let us do all things without grumbling and complaining. But in order to do that, we're going to have to constantly remember God's faithful deliverance in the past, his work of redemption in Christ. And we're going to have to constantly trust him in the present rather than leaning on our own understanding. And then we're going to have to continually hope in his promise for the future. And if we do that, we can lead grumble-free lives. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, it cuts us to heal us. It convicts us to bring about confession of our sin. It drives us to an understanding of our failures so that it will drive us to the feet of you, remembering the work of Christ in the cross and in the hope of the gospel, confessing those things and being made new and being renewed so that we can grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, help the saints of God who are hearing this message to do all things without grumbling and complaining, so that we may be blameless and innocent, children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And Lord God, I pray that you would help us to shine like lights in the world. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.